Okay, page Chavtes, Parshas, Bamidbar, in the Sefer of Hegyonei Aparsha. The Pasuk says as follows, V'nasa, if you could share, Baruch Hashem, we're out. V'nasa oel moed machane alavim besacha machanas. And this week's Parsha talks about counting of Klal Yisrael and also the structure of the machanas of Klal Yisrael. And in the middle, the Pasuk says that the oel moed, the machane alavim, was betoch hamachanas, was in the middle. So the Chofetz Chaim on page Chavtes says as follows, the Chofetz Chaim ala Torah, Kasav is elajonu mekevan shahatorah munachas be'aron shebo'el moed. Because the Torah is in the aron, which is in the oel moed. Sorry, ha'oel moed lios tamid betoch hamachanos. Accordingly, because the Torah is in the oel moed has to be in the middle of all of the camps. Betoch hamachanos, in the middle of Levim, the concentric circles, everyone around, Levim, Yisrael. In the middle has to be the oel moed. The emtsa, love karav biyoser lecha v'lo rachok biyoser masheni. Not closer to one, not further away the other. It has to be exactly in the middle. Kemo, like what? Just like the oel moed, the Torah inside the oel moed, and everything was around it. Kemo shabima beemtsa beisak ganes. It's just like the bima where we read the Kriyas Torah has to be in the middle of the shul, says the Chofetz Chaim. Just like the Eitz HaChaim was in the middle of the Gan Eden, so too our Bima has to be in the middle of the Shul. That's why the Oel Moed with the Torah in the middle of it was in the midst of the encampment of Klal Yisrael. Goam HaTorah, He Eitz HaChaim. The Torah is our Eitz HaChaim. V'akol Tzrichim Lihisrakes Misviva V'hi B'soch. Everyone has to be around it. When in Shul, it's talking about the Bima has to be in the middle of the Shul, and everyone has to be around it. So that's our topic tonight. Having the bima in the middle of the shul, what's the source? What's the source for the obligation? One second. What's the source for the obligation? If the bima is not in the middle of the shul, is it permitted to daven in such a shul? Is a rav, a chazan, allowed to take a job if that's the only option? Or does he have to not have a job, go jobless? That is indeed our sugya today.
And the Rav Kook was down in the synagogue until he fixed it to put the bima in the middle. Of
just
the
now? That would happen just now? Or
1913.
Okay.
I just wanted to be sure for it. They had a discussion about
it. Let's go. So the Gemara in Sukkah says as follows, Nun Aleph Amid Beis, is a famous Gemara talking about a majestic shul in Alexandria in Egypt. And the Gemara goes through graphic detail of all of the beautiful tapestries and this and how big the shul was, and it was double the amount of people that came out of Mitzrayim. And the Gemara says ubima shel eitz beemtza isa, and there was a bima made of wood that was in the middle of the shul. The chazan of Knesset omer alei v'asudarim b'yado. Now when it says the chazan of the Knesset, typically we say chazan and sliach shlibor. It's the chazan. Right, it's not what it means here. It's the gabbai. When the Gemara says the chazan of the Knesset, it's talking about the gabbai. And what was his function there? This will become a little bit important later on. The shul was so big that the mispalalim couldn't hear when they got to say amen. When they had to say amen, so they would wave. The chazan would stand on the bima in the middle of the shul, and they would wave these banners, saying it's time to say amen. That's how people would know, even though they couldn't hear. That was their instruction. And we learn from this again. We see that in this shul, the bima was in the middle. There's a second mishnah. That was the Gemara. The mishnah in Sota Mem Aleph Amud Aleph says Sheba Azara BeBeis HaMikdash, that when David HaMelech during Hakel would come every 7 years and read the Torah, they used to set up a bima. Hayuasim Lord L'Shem Kach Bima Shel Eitz BeEmtza HaAzara. They would have a bima of eitz of wood in the middle of the Azara. So we have a Gemara. We have a mishnah talking about having a bima in the middle. So why would this be required to have a bima in the middle? So there are a number of reasons brought, and as we go through the various reasons for this concept of having a bima in the middle, we're also going to talk about how do we paskin. So we're going to cover, usually we divide up, we bring the reasons, and then we see the psak. We're going to go through it at the same time. So we're on page number Lamed. Page Lamed, it says, Betur, Kasa, right side, second paragraph, then Betur Kasav, jump down to the fifth line. Kishiyamdu letfilok. Umamidim bima be'emtsa beis hakinesis. This isn't talking about the lalachas of beis hakinesis, that we put a bima in the middle of the shul la'amod ala'a korei b'torah. Why? So we can lean. That's we lean on the bima. Kidei, what's the reason? Kidei shishmu kulam. Here, the Torah is telling us this concept of having a bima in the middle of the shul has a reason. This halacha of having the bima, why? Kidei shishmu, a practical reason. Practical reason is so everyone can hear the laning. Put it in the middle, because everyone should be able to hear the laning. So that's what the Torah says. That's how the Ramah paskins the Shulchan Aruch. That's the Torah, the Ramah. That's how the Rambam, going a little bit out of chronological order, because the Rambam says it a little different. He says not only that the Kriya Satora, the Baal Korah will stand in the middle, and everyone here will hear the Kriya Satora, but in addition, Omi Asher Yomar La'am Dive Krushim, anyone who's going to give a shir, anyone who's going to give a Dvar Torah, they would stand in the middle, not at the front, at the pulpit, but they would stand in the middle where the laning was, and that is from where the Rav, whoever's giving the Dvar Torah, would be giving the Dvar Torah. So that's why the Rambam is a little different. He talks about laning and giving a Dvar Torah, but we see here that the Torah, the Ramah, and the Rambam, paskin, the bima should be in the middle, and for what reason? So everyone will hear the Kriya Satorah. Second, now, before we get to that, there's the Shulchan Aruch, an important point. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't comment. Doesn't comment on this. We have it in the Rambam. We have it in the Torah. We have it in the Ramah, which is comments on the Shulchan Aruch, but the Shulchan Aruch himself doesn't bring it in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, the Shulchan Aruch has other writings other than the Shulchan Aruch, one of which is the Beis Yosef, and another of which is the Kesef Mishnah. Kesef Mishnah is his commentary on the Rambam. The Beis Yosef is the Rav Yosef Karo's commentary on the Torah. So if we look on Daf Lamed, left side at the top, Lamro Kaf, Kasef Sham be Kesef Mishnah. This is written by Rav Yosef Karo. Rav Yosef Karo wrote the Shulchan Aruch, wrote in his Kesef Mishnah the commentary on the Rambam, Shamada be'emtsa eino Me'achiyuf, that having the bima in the middle of the shul is not a requirement. This is not like the Rambam, Tur and Ramah, so who say we put the bima in the middle. Right? What was that? We don't know yet. Good, great question. We don't know yet. We'll see in a little bit. And if it is ma'akev, can you daven there then, right? It's ma'akev. If it's ma'akev, we won't mention shuls here tonight. Hakol, so says the Kesef Mishnah, Hakol lefi amakom ve'azman. It's not a chiyuv. Rather, everything is based on time and place. What does that mean? It's based on time and place. Shebo'os anazmani. Kesha'ayu bate kinesios gedolim anmor. In those times, says the Kesef Mishnah, when the shuls were large. If you think about the shul in Alexandria of Egypt, it was a massive shul. They needed to put the bima in the middle so everyone would hear. And if it weren't in the middle, some people would hear those close to it, but the people really far away, if it's at the front of the shul, if it's in the back of the shul, the people really distant would not be able to hear. You have to put it in the middle. In our days, this is the Kesef Mishnah. In our time, our shuls are small. Everyone hears anyway. Yo, sir. Noi, it's preferable, it's nicer. Lios letzadecha milios be'emtsa. Put it on the side, rather in the middle. I don't know if he's saying an architectural statement, or if it's more functional, it takes up less space. We'll see some of the posts talk about less space if it's not in the middle, if it's towards the front. But he's saying that it's not a requirement. If it's a large shul, have it in the middle so people hear. But if it's not, if it's a small shul, not required.
But in Alexandria, they didn't hear anything. They put up a flag.
We'll get to it, we'll get to it.
In other words, if the reason the bima's in the middle is based on a practicality
of hearing,
of hearing, how does that become a din if that would be ma'akev?
Good,
it's a practical thing.
Hold the question. Very good question. Okay, second reason, because there's always more. If it's only one reason, Steve, then
got it.
Question. Next reason. So the Shut Chasam Sofer, one daf lamed, left side, two paragraphs on the bottom. The Shut Chasam Sofer, Nishal. Al-Dabar Besa Knesset Yeshana Sheshatu Anshei Kal HaKadosh. His question here is, there was a shul that was taken down, and it was rebuilt. And when it was rebuilt, it was larger. The original shul had the bima in the middle. The new shul, they did not want to put it in the middle, they wanted to put it at the front. Put it at the way front, it takes up less space. Much better, right? Can we do that? So the Chasam Sofer writes as follows. A number of points. He says, number one, if you look at the Rambam and the Tur and the Ramah, you need to have it in the middle. And his language is Lachen Kolam Ashana Yadol Atachton. Anyone who wants to make a change from this, he has a losing argument, right? It's a losing argument. We need winning arguments, not losing arguments. So says the Rambam, the Tur. He says Rambam Tur, and the Ramah says it has to be in the middle. Point number one. Point number two, what are you going to do with the Kesem Mishnah? Kesem Mishnah seems to say it depends on time and place. It's not required to be in the middle. It depends if it's a large shul, it should be in the middle. If it's not a large shul, it doesn't have to be in the middle. He says the Kesem Mishnah is only being melamed schus. What is melamed schus? How would we say that? He's trying to find a favorable argument for those who have not put it in the middle. But he's not saying that that's a lachatchila. So number two. Number three, to get back to Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim, the massive shul, as Dr. Kaplan was saying before, they would stand in the middle at the bima, shake the banner there to tell people when they would say amen. Could people hear what was going on?
Can you say amen when you can't hear the bracha?
A different question. A very good question. We're not going to get into it. But in any case, they would shake. It's a large sugya. They would shake the banners when people couldn't hear. So why'd they have to have it in the middle? They could have had it anywhere if it doesn't matter. And we still see they were makbid to put it in the middle. So it's not only an issue of if you can hear it or not hear it, even if you can't hear it. It doesn't matter. No matter what, the bima has to be in the middle. And next, he says, point number four, Lamed Aleph, right side, second paragraph down. Then this is what's critical for us. This is, he's going to bring a new reason why the bima has to be in the middle. V'hosif demisvora, kevan shana anu machzikim abima shebakorim parshas akorbonos. This bima that we have, that we read the korbanos, we were part of the lane, we read korbanos, k'mo mizbeach, that is like our mizbeach. We had a shir similar, that what the table that we eat on is also mizbeach. We mentioned it actually, a side point in this year. Can you kill a bug on it? We're noach to not kill a bug on the table. That's our mizbeach, sitting on the table. Right? We're noach to not sit on it. That's our mizbeach. Mizbeach. So he says the same thing with the bima is like the mizbeach. Shemibnechen mesavevina bima b'chagasukos. That's why we go around the bima, hakafos, around the bima, hoshanos, around the bima, and sukos. Just like they went around the Mizbeach. Just like they went around the Mizbeach, we go around our Bima. That's our Mizbeach. But also, Mizbeach Shama Behechel, if you look, says the Chassam Sofer, the Mizbeach that was in the Hechel was Lifnei Aron HaKodesh, was the Mizbeach there, Mizbeach HaPtim, Haya Omed Ve'emtza HaBayis, was in the middle of the Bayis, between the menorah and the Shulchan. Our shul should be imitating the Beis HaMikdash. Just like the Mizbeach HaPnim was in the middle, so too our Bima, which is our Mizbeach, should be in the middle. And then he goes on and says, and even if you want to argue that you can rely on the Kesem Mishnah, that says that it doesn't apply, it's not a requirement to be in the middle, it depends on the time and the place, if it's a small shul, it's okay, only if it's a big shul. He says that would only be the case if you're building a new shul. But once you built a shul, and you're rebuilding a shul, and the first shul had it in the middle, you can make no changes from that. So, but what's important for us is we have a second reason. The first reason that we brought why the bima has to be in the middle is because, based on the Rambam, the Tur, and the Ramah, so everyone can hear the Kriyas HaTorah. The Chassam Sofer doesn't say that reason. The Chassam Sofer says, just like the Mizbeach was in the middle, and the Beis HaMikdash, the show to our bima is like the Mizbeach, it has to be in the middle. That would apply, Steve, whether it's big or small, whether you can hear it, it doesn't matter, hear it or not, it has to be like the Mizbeach in the middle. Okay, third reason is how we started out this year. I'm not going to go in detail, but the Chofetz Chaim says it's just like the Machanos, just like the Torah was in the Ohel Moed, and the Ohel Moed had to be in the middle of the encampment of Klal Yisrael. So too, we are structured, our shul, like the entire Machan and the Midbar. So we have to be structured with the Bima, like the Ohel Moed, the Torah in the middle. So too, we all sit around with the Torah in the middle. Fourth reason, Al Pi Kabbalah, enough said. Fifth reason is that it's like Har Sinai, Klal Yisrael stood around it, so too we are standing around the Bima, or sitting around the Bima for the laning. And the sixth reason, also, now the first one and two were the most important, that's why I'm going fairly quick. The sixth reason is based on a pasuk in Parshas Balosa, El Mu'l Pnei HaMenorah, that the outer wicks of the menorah would point to the middle. There's a Gemara Menachos that says Melamed Shayu Metzadidim Pneim Klapei Nera Mitzayi. They would point inward. Vamo Rabbi Nasan Mikan Shem Tzayim Meshubach. We see that the middle is the best. So too, based on the concept, the middle is the best. We would That's for kids also. We should say emtza meshubach, I guess, you know. So get rid of the middle syndrome of kids.
Since we're just approaching Shavuos, did they camp around the Mount Sinai the same way, all in a circle around?
You know, it's interesting. Here it's brought that it was Habima B'makom Har Sinai. It doesn't say strictly that it was all
because
equal around.
So
it doesn't say it was all equal, but right. It's they were around. I didn't say exactly in the middle, but Enoch
Inami. I always thought of them, all the tribal spaces.
So the next question then is this ma'akev? How would we say ma'akev in English?
Required.
Hold me back?
Does this not prevent? Does this,
no,
is it
required?
Required, but ma'akev means like a necessary condition. It sounds like an attorney. A prerequisite condition. Absolutely. Is it ma'akev? We would say in English, is it ma'akev? So
that's
we're on Lamed Gimel, bottom right. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehyeh bidvaro. Lamed Gimel, bottom right, we're going to look at the Biur HaLacha written by the Mishnah Berurah approximately 100 years ago. And then we're going to look at the Orach HaShulchan. Orach HaShulchan was a contemporary of the Mishnah Berurah. They both lived in Europe. So it says the Biur HaLacha, bottom right, Lamed Gimel. Ubavaseinu HaRabim, in our great sins, Be'ezim HaKomas, in certain places, parts of Minag Kedumim, the people have abrogated this very important Minag.
No, that's what, at least the beginning, the North is five.
We haven't gotten into the reform yet. Parts of it, but we're still ahead of the reform. We're going to jump back a few years to the Maram Shikin a little bit. Okay, parts of mina kedumim zavi hischilu lasos abima samuch laron hakodesh. They have done away with this mina kedumim, this very ancient mina, and they started making the bimas right next to the aron kodesh. Mipnei shiratzu lelech bedarkei ovdei elohim. They wanted to replicate the non-Jews, the churches, temple, the shikorim temple, elim kamosha osim behechaloshlem shikorim temple, like they do in their temples and their churches. V'yeshli koaleim v'yishkach yisholoseyu v'yiven echalos. We have forgotten our Kodesh Baruch Hu. We're building churches, we're building temples. The poskim have already talked about this. Is the Biur HaLacha talk referring back decades before how disgusting it is to be replicating the churches and moving our bima, which historically has been in the middle, toward the front of the shul. Orach HaShulchan says something similar. Next paragraph down, Lamed Gimel, left side, towards the top. Certain people have come to change the minhagim of Kol Yisrael. Lasos habima min hatzad, to do make the bima from the side. Ve'on shem meruba, and their punishment is great. Shebelitam bedas mishani minag kadumi, says it's very similar language. They're changing a very ancient minag. Shegama seichel mochiach halav, and it's obvious also. It should be in the middle. Kriyas Torah should be in the middle. Behem kamol ahachi suasim l'shana. They're doing this on purpose, making the change. Now those are the contemporaries, the Mishnah Berurah or Chashokan, approximately 100 years ago. Now the Igros Moshe was asked.
According to the Rosh right here, if there would be a logical reason to have it somewhere else, that would be fine.
I don't think so, because the minhag of Klal Yisrael shouldn't change.
Oh, okay.
So, but now we're going to get to Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked this question. How about the beam in the middle? Is it me'akev? Is it required? We're on Lamed Gimel, left side, where it says Ulam B'Yigros Moshe. And Rav Moshe is a very important shoe. Rav Moshe is Kasa Binyan Abima. She'ein Kepeda. Shetia be'emtza beis hakneses mamish. We don't have to be makbid on this. Meaning, it's not required. It's not absolutely necessary. Ukimat shod atif shia karav yosel ifnima. Maybe even it's better that it be further inside the shul, closer to the aron kodesh. The berov pa'amim einamis pa'amim melim imalim kol beis hakneses. Oftentimes, he says, people don't fill the entire shul. He says, interestingly, that they stand closer to the front. I don't know. I think the people, if you're not filling it, people are more prone to stand towards the back. I guess that's a change we've had over the past 50, 60 years, that people nowadays, they want to stand more towards the exit than the entrance. But parts of Yiriya das Adoros, Mimele Tzricha Bima Lias Be'emtza, he says the Bima should be in the middle of where people are. Based on that, he says it could be closer to the front. Nowadays, we'd say it should be closer to the back.
It should be on wheels. Boy,
it should be depending on where it is. Dim ein manichim itam hefsid mekomos. He says that he adds on, you know, maybe they want to have a different reason here. I'm sorry, I skipped something very important. Barabba minemus umim malim kol bezak. Menez melech rabim alios be'emta midas, which should be in the middle. The main reason is so people hear the Kriyas Torah. So wherever the people are, bring the Brima to them. If it's because they want to save space, right, you take some more space, it's in the middle. At a minimum, Rav Moshe says it shouldn't be all the way to the front. You should have a little bit distance from the front. Why? To fulfill the second reason. We're okay with the hearing, but the second reason of the Mizbeach, why? Because he said that going around the Mizbeach, just like Sukkot, we would go around the Mizbeach, so too, we need some space to go around. That's the concept that should be attached. So at least leave one row. At least so they can go around the Bima. So that's what Rav Moshe says. It's closer to the front. Netzach Yisrael. Netzach Yisrael is not in the middle. It is closer to the front. There are how many rows? I should know this. Three rows in the front? Three rows or four rows in the front? What? Oh, that's the wave front. Right, that's right. So there's one row. This is Rav Moshe. There's one row in the front, and then in back there are 10, 12 rows, something like that. So that would fulfill. There's now Rav Moshe then goes on. He has a different shul, but he says, you know what? If it's a big shul, it absolutely has to be in the middle. Absolutely has to be in the middle. And if people promise you, he says, they say, we're going to go closer to the Bima, we're going to move up to listen, you can't trust them. You can't rely on that. It has to be absolutely. In a large shul, it absolutely has to be in the middle. And then Rav Moshe says, what happens? He's talking in the United States of America, 50, 60 years ago. I don't know the exact date of this tshuva. And he says, what happened in America is that they moved the Bima to the front. And what happened was people could no longer hear the Kriyas HaTorah. They could no longer hear the rabbi gives a speech. They could no longer hear the Chazarat HaShatz. What did they do? They put in microphones on Shabbos. They started using microphones to wake up for that. And that's what Moshe says. It's amazing how they're saying that's the problem. If you move it to the middle, what happened was, and this is the Mitzvah, what happens was they put microphones in the shul so everyone could hear what was going on. So that's an amazing, amazing historical point for Moshe. Now, the Minchas Yitzchak was asked a similar question. How about having a bima in the middle? And he says, "Halacha psukim Rambam, for Rambam, it's absolutely required. We pasken that way. It's brought down the halacha that the bima should be the emsa." And if you look at their language, they didn't say no hagim. We customarily put the bima in the middle. In other words, he says it's not a custom; it's an absolute requirement. He says some people want to come and say that it's based on that they made the change based on looking at the Rambam and the Ramah and the Torah, saying, oh, it's because we need to hear, but in our shul we can hear anyway, it's small enough so we can move it. He says, but you're forgetting, this is your point, Steve, you're forgetting there's a second reason. There's the Chassam Sofer, and the Chassam Sofer's reason has to be like the Mizbeach. So even if you, doesn't matter if you can hear or not hear, it doesn't matter to us about hearing. Even if you can hear, it still has to be in the middle. Even if you can hear from the front, it still has to be in the middle. Should it should be like the Mizbeach. So he says here, very important, he said there are many reasons for this mitzvah. And it's not for us to start looking into the reasons and saying this applies or this doesn't apply. There's a din put the bima in the middle. That we brought six reasons, there are probably more. He says it's not for us to start being medayik based on the reason that Dorsh Tama Dekra, this applies, this doesn't apply to our situation. It has to be in the middle. And he says if you look in the Gemara didn't even bring a reason. Probably for that reason, so people wouldn't start saying, does this reason apply, does not reason apply, there's a deen, the bima should be in the middle. Okay, so...
you haven't differentiated between the word bima and the word amud.
Not yet. Good question. We'll get to it.
There are some shuls.
Right, yeah. The amud is at the front, where the shliach tiba, and the bima is in the middle, but we will talk about it. Yeah. We will talk about the Mir Teshem. Okay, so just a little bit of a side point. Rav Moshe says, if you look at the Chassam Sofer, the Chassam Sofer says it's like the Mizbeach. He says, which Mizbeach is it like? He says it's like the Mizbeach apnim. Right? It's the Mizbeach. It's between the menorah. It's in the inside Mizbeach, not the outside of Mizbeach. So Rav Moshe says, and then you're saying that we would walk around the Mizbeach HaPnim, but that's the Mizbeach outside, not the Mizbeach inside, that we would go around on Chag HaSukkos, and because we read the Korbanos. So Rav Moshe asks the question, he says, it doesn't seem to make so much sense. That should, the Chassam Sofer should have said it, the Mizbeach HaOla outside, not the Mizbeach HaPnim.
They certainly so, didn't go inside.
So they certainly didn't go inside and do their Hakafah, Shoshana. So he brings that there's a tshuva of the Imre Eish, that says that it's Zeichel Mizbeach Shaya Be'emtza Azor. It's really the Mizbeach outside, not the Mizbeach inside. And then
perfectly centered, according to all
only between two walls. Only the Mizbeach
out, outside or inside?
Outside, I think you're asking outside.
Yeah. Outside. So on the inside.
It's only equally distant between the north and south wall.
Is it north and south or east and west? So he says that, and people make a mistake. They think that it was, he's talking about the north and south, and it's really equal in the east and west.
Yeah, but
it's the east and west.
Right next.
Right. Now
it's right next to the pearl.
Right. Okay. So in other words, that's the hara.
The Mishkan itself was centered between all the 12. The whole Mishkan complex. The 12 tribes surrounded it. That was true. But in terms of inside,
so that's reason number three. That's why we have many reasons. Okay, so the next question then is, you live in an area that has only one shul, right? 1913, only one shul. You live in Podunk, Iowa, one shul, whatever it is. I don't know how many shuls they have there. Podunk, Iowa?
Lemberg,
and there was one shul. One shul. And did you go? Was the beam in the middle? Mm-hmm. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Let's assume you're in a place and there's only one shul and the beam is not in the middle. Or you live in a place with a lot of shuls and they're trying to recruit you to come to be number 10 to the minyan, and the problem is you have 9 shuls to choose from that the beam is in the middle. The shul that needs you for the minyan does not have the bima in the middle. And the question was posed to the Minchas Yitzchak, can you go? Can you go to the shul? Or is it better, if it's only one shul, is it better to daven be yechidus, to daven by yourself, rather than going to the shul with the bima in the middle? So the Minchas Yitzchak Dayan Weiss brings the Maram Shek. First of all, we'll go, before we bring the Maram Shek, he brings the Mechola Seinayim. Say from Mechola Seinayim, it says that it's Yehareg Val Yavor. Yehareg Val Yavor. Why kas chukas agoy? Yavodah Zara. It's an Avodah Zara to go. We're copying. So he says a Yereg Val Yavar. So the Maram Shik disagrees. The Maram Shik says it's not Yereg Val Yavar, but it's still an Isser D'oraisa. So either way, he says it's Yereg Val Yavar, it's an Isser D'oraisa. You're assisting those who are doing an Avera, copying the churches. So he says you can't go in. So Minchas Yitzchak then brings a tshuva of Rav Yaakov Orenstein. And he says, Rav Orenstein was asked this question, can you go, can you daven in a shul? The beam is not isn't in the front, it's not in the middle, it's like the churches. So he brings 4 points. Point number one, 5 points. 4 points first, and then the fifth point. Bima be'emtza, this concept of having the bima in the middle, it's based on the Shas Bavli, it's based on the Yerushalmi, it's based on the Rambam, it's based on the Shulchan Aruch. I don't think it means the Shulchan Aruch. I think it means the Raman, the Shulchan Aruch. V'chi af bil tizot, ashu l'shana shum minag v'minag Yisrael. You can't change in the minag, regardless. We're asking that way. A. B. Minag Yisrael is to have it in the middle. Number two. Number three, V'kol shekein b'zeh shekavanas ha-mishanim li'sdamos l'batei tefilah shalem. Those who are trying, who are doing this, are trying to copy the non-Jews. And number four, regardless, he says, there were a number of rabbanim in Ashkenaz, Poland, Germany, Poland, Hungary, all these, lists out all these countries that I can't pronounce. V'asru, v'lorak rabbanei Ungarin levad. It's not only Hungary now. Hungary, why Hungary? What's going on in Hungary? In the 1700s, the reform, and one of the first things that the reform movement changed was putting the bima at the front, not in the middle. So there were, we'll see in a little bit, there were 100 rabbanim that came out saying, you can't enter such a shul. You can't enter. This is the reform movement. We need to put our feet down. Badaish Isurim Isur Olam. Once they made that proclamation, the decree, you can't go in, that applies for all the future. Kol Elu Makiv is Kol Yisrael, the Doros HaMachreim, it applies to all Kol Yisrael in the future. It is binding to not go and daven in a shul that doesn't have a beam on the inside. Now, shockingly, Rav Yaakov Orenstein then says, however, if you just want to go and be cry, not on a regular basis, but on a one-off. One-off. I'm going to go... Don't have a choice. There's a tremendous friction with the family. It's my only nephew, whatever it is. Lishmoa Kedusha Baruch, you've got to go on. I'm just going to go on now here. Kedusha Baruch, your site to say Kaddish. Rav Ornstein says if it's be Ikrai, not Kavua, but Ikrai one up, it would be permitted. So Diane Weiss in his Mitzvah says, I don't understand this at all. If it's Usur, it's Usur. And the Poskim said it's Usur. They don't distinguish between going in regularly or irregularly. It doesn't matter if it's a Gzera to go in. It doesn't matter. One is prohibited to go in no matter what. So we see here that we've gone through is it Ma'akev, and we said many poskim in the Bir Halach or Chashuv says it absolutely it's Ma'akev, you can't go in. But we saw Rav Moshe was wavering a little bit, it's small shul, okay, it's not Ma'akev. Now we went to the next question, how about making a minyan? Or it's the only shul in town. Can you go? Min Chasitzah says, absolutely not. It's not permitted to go in. Now, Rav Moshe, again, was asked this question also. We're on Lamed Zayin, left side, Achen Bivas Moshe. Second paragraph down. Lamed Zayin, left side. Achen Bivas Moshe, Chalak Al Ko'olzeh. He disagrees with the Dayan Weiss. Vekasa B'davar Bima Be'emza Vada Yesh La'asos Be'emza. When it comes to a beam in the middle, obviously it should be done in the middle. But I can't say then they didn't do it. It's not in the middle. But Rav Moshe says I don't see a base which is saying it's prohibited to daven in such a place. You say in Hungary that it was prohibited. I'm not so that's clear. When it's prohibited, it's because, says Rav Moshe, and this is important, you said we see in other places in Igros Moshe, why did they usher it? Why did they come down so strong? Because at that time, the people's motivation of having that bima at the front was to imitate the non-Jews. So the reform came, and that was one of the major changes that they made, put the bima in the front to imitate the non-Jews. This is the beginning of the Reform movement making that change. But the places that's not their motivation is to do acts like that, to copy the non-Jews. But they want more space in the shul. Or for whatever other reasons they have. He says it's not a problem. We're not going to prohibit it. Why? Because it's not a deen that's absolutely required. Because we see why. Look at the Rambam, look at the Ramah, they said the concept is, not the deen, the concept is so you can hear. That means, that's a functional reason, like Steve, you were saying, it's a fun, that's Ramosha's agreeing with you. You're agreeing with Ramosha. It's a functional reason, but if it doesn't apply, if you have other motivations, it's okay. And Bakesav Mishnah, Mekel Aflechat Chila. And the Mekesav Mishnah said, it's even the Chathchila, it's okay for a smaller shul to have it at the beginning. So, but the Ramosha then does add, that if you have a choice between going to a shul that has the bima in the middle and the front, even though that bima doesn't ma'akev, even if it's at the front, okay, it's not the worst thing, you can still daven there. But if you have a choice between the two, Sarah Moshe, you should obviously daven in the place that has the bima in the middle, not the bima in the front. So it comes down, we have an important machlokas. Diane Weiss, Min Chatzitzah, says you can't even go. You can't make the minyan. You can't go at all. And Rav Moshe is saying, no, you can go even on a regular basis, but if you have a choice of shuls, go to the one with the bima in the middle. Okay, so our next question then is how about, we see Diane Weiss and many others come down very strong against going and davening a shul that the bima is always all the way at the front. Now, there are gradations between those parenthetically, all the way at the front and in the middle, as we mentioned, like there are shuls that have it closer to the front, but it's not attached to the front. So, we'll leave that as a gray
area.
We're
talking about a bima that faces the aron, though.
The bima that faces the aron, absolutely.
Because the church,
but the location
face the congregation. Because
the congregation. That's right. He's talking about functionally, where is it? Regardless of which. So our next question is.
Was there any issue towards the back?
What?
Was there any issue of having it towards the back? Often if the women's there and the women are in the back.
So it would depend on the time. If it's because of the concern of the reform movement and imitating them, then it would be okay. But if it's the time of Kadesh Yishmu Kulam, it should be in the middle. It's the time of Chassam Sofer, that it should be like the Mizbech, it should be in the middle. So if it's the Chavetz Chaim, that's like the Betocha Machanos, then it should be in the middle. But the reform concern is more that it's at the front, not at the back.
Middle of men or is middle of...
That was his question.
Great question. No one talked about it. I think that I didn't see anyone talk about it. I think it's talking about the men's section.
There's really in the middle.
Most chuvas you're reading, I mean, I'm speaking from personal experience, right? These people were probably living in places where if you went to the shul with a bima in the middle, there's a signal there that that shul has got something else in mind.
Not in the middle. If it's not in the middle.
If it's not in the middle, right. That shul has something else in mind. And
yes,
stay away.
Yes, yeah. So that's what Ramosha's saying.
Right.
Right, that's what Ramosha's saying.
As opposed to the practical matter of where I grew up, with one shul in the neighborhood.
And there was no concern. So Ramosha would say, clearly the motivation is not to imitate the reform.
The shul was built in the 1920s by people who were leaning toward conservative. They were leaning that way. But the shul was built to function. All its
Orthodox.
As the Orthodox.
Interesting.
But being in the middle, the reason I put it in the middle, that seems to be if you're, you know, our visitor in the back could hear it better, it seems to be...
I hear. You're saying based on the first time. Or we would say that it's based in the middle of the people who have a chiyuv to hear.
Okay.
Now, just an interesting side point. This Rav Moshe here is saying that you have to look at the environment as to what's going on, and you have to look at the motivation of the location. He says in the time of the reform movement, 1800s, time of the Maram Shik, which we're about to get into, there was a real fight against the reform movement, and they saw the concern, and it had to be stamped out, so they came down very strong against it. But Moshe says here in the United States of America, if a shul has it, it's not that they're trying to a frum shul, right? It's not that they're trying to it's not that they're not trying to imitate the non-Jews. But Moshe had a similar shayla, a similar rationale when he came to asking about wearing a yarmulke at work. If your employer is going to require you to take the yarmulke off, is it permitted? And some poskim say that there's a taz that says it's chukas agoyim. It's going in the non-Jewish ways to go bareheaded. It's an iser deraisa to go without a yarmulke. Rav Moshe says we poskim like that taz. It is an iser deraisa, but that applied to times that people were motivated to take the yarmulke off in order to imitate the non-Jews. Rav Moshe says, in the United States of America, the motivation is not to imitate the non-Jews. The motivation is that's just what's more comfortable. It's a style thing. So you wouldn't have that Ister Deraisa, says Rav Moshe. Again, we see Rav Moshe looking at the motivation behind the actions to see if there's an Ister of Chukas HaGoyim or not. Okay, so our next question is, the Maram Shik was asked in the 1800s in Hungary. A very important question. He says that... Dafilu Beish, can you take a job as a rav, a rabbi, in a shul? And if we remember back then and throughout, until even 50, 60 years ago, the only shuls that had available temples would have been, go to a conservative shul. I know a roommate I had at one point, his father was Orthodox, but he was the rav of a conservative shul. That's where he got a job. 40 years ago, 50.
That's where they all got their
50 years and 60. That's where
all the conservative shuls were getting their from rabbis.
Well, because they didn't have, yeah, and now they have their own pool.
Rabbi Hartman's father was given permission to go to the St. Louis. I think I had 1 year to put up in the priest.
Ah, okay. Yeah, so that was the condition.
Riskin also was risking with the rug. Uh-huh. And he went to Lincoln Square.
He had
1 year.
He had 1 year. Interesting. Okay, yeah. That's interesting. So the Maram Shik was asked, can you take the job? Can you take the job, the rub of a shul, and the bima is at the front, not in the middle? And he says as follows, even if you have a family to support, and even if you're the rub of that shul already, you need to leave that position if the bima is at the front. So you have kama rabbanim, he says 100 rabbanim, put a cheirim not to go into such a place. And anyone who goes into the place, dav in such a place, gives a darshan in such a place, in iser gamor. But kadesh lolav or iser, in order to not violate an iser, we know that you have to be able, be willing and forfeit all of your money. To do a mitzvah's asay, 20%, we would have to spend to buy lulav ezra, but to violate, to avoid violating an iser deraisa, you have to forfeit all your funds. So the Minchat Yitzchak was asked a similar question. Dayan Weiss, jumping forward, that was the 1800s, now is a latter part of the 1900s. Dayan Weiss was asked, by those people who are saying, you know, Hazanim need jobs, rabbis need jobs, and they're only finding in these locations. Can they take the job? And they said, look at the Kesem Mishnah. The Kesem Mishnah said, you know, it's not an absolute prohibition. A smaller shul is not a problem to have it towards the front. So the Minchas Yitzchak says, absolutely not. You can't rely on the Kesem Mishnah. Number one, you can't rely on the Kesem Mishnah because we don't paskin like the Kesem Mishnah. When you have the Rambam, you have the Torah, you have the Rama, we paskin like them. And even the Kesem Mishnah himself, he wouldn't say, he probably wouldn't agree in this situation nonetheless. And then he says something very important. He says the Kesef Mishnah was wrote in what year? When was he writing? Approximately 1400s, 15, early 1500s, writing the Kesef Mishnah. And he was writing at the time that we didn't have the Reform Movement and we didn't have all these challenges. So he's simply saying, okay, what's the big deal? If it's small shul, it's the concept of hearing. But even the Kesef Mishnah itself, if he knew what was going on at this time with the attack of the Reform and the changes of the Reform to try to duplicate what is happening in the church, even the Kesef Mishnah would have a problem for it. So he says you cannot rely on that Kesef Mishnah at all, and Diane Weiss agrees with Rav Moshe, with the Maram Shek, that you would not be permitted to take the position as a Rav, as a Baal Korah, whatever it is, if the beam is at the front. Now, we can obviously surmise that Rav Moshe Feinstein would disagree with that. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, we had a tshuva, it's not me'akev. We had another tshuva, Rav Moshe says, you know, it's advisable to have it in the front, you have a choice. But if it's not, you can still go to minyan. So Rav Moshe certainly would say, if that's the only issue, so you have the mechitza, you know, fine, good mechitza, but if the beam is at the front, so then it'd be okay.
So eventually you can have a similar problem with the mechitza, whether you could take a job or a shul, I don't know if that's right. Remember, that was a big thing. He came out and says, no, he couldn't take it because it was an attack on the mechitza.
This was the fight of the 1800s with the location of the bima, and the fight of the 1900s was the mechitza.
Now you could say that there's not a problem because the Reform movement is so far away from anything that's close to Judaism.
Yeah, we don't have that. We don't have that. Okay, so our next question then is, does this only apply to a shul, or does it apply to a base medrash as well? Now, this is opening up a little bit of Pandora's box, because it's very difficult nowadays for us to classify what's a shul and what's a base medrash, because we've combined them. But historically, they were separate and distinct. And there was a shul, there was a base medrash, you used to learn in the base medrash, you used to daven in the shul. The Gemara talks about, V'elech mechayel achayel, Gemara and Baruch says, go from strength to strength. Let's go strength to strength. Then in the morning, you daven in the shul, and then afterwards, go straight and learn in the base medrash. Not learn where you are, but they used to go to different places, and that's blah, blah, blah. So go to different place, and then that's how we pass it into our Shulchan Aruch. Go to different place, different location. So we'll have to put it in that context. Okay, so the question posed to Diane Weiss is, does this also apply to a base medrash or only a shul? And he says, the person posing the question says, if you look at the Rama, it says, v'osim bima be'emsa beis hakenesis. It says only a shul, and all the posts can bring this down, only beis hakenesis. And the reason is we want to duplicate the beis hamikdash, that only applies to a shul, not to a base medrash. So indeed, Diane Weiss responds, yeah, look, in a base medrash, we don't even have a bima. We have a portable bima. We have portable tables even, because it's a totally different function and purpose than a base kness. It's not trying to replicate the base of mikdash. We wouldn't have this problem. The bima wouldn't have to be in the middle. Now, apply that nowadays is very difficult, because almost every shul that you think of, well, not every shul, like, the Great Synagogue is not a base medrash. It's not. But if you think about Netzach, so you think about KBM, you know, I would say the Gra is more of a base kness. That's a shul. That doesn't function as much. People may learn there more, but that's more of a shul.
Most
of the larger shuls are shuls, but many of the kolels and the top shofar has that issue. That's more of a base medrash than a shul. But if you think about many places, they have a dual function. So Kal Chassidim downstairs is more of a shul. The upshul has done dual function. For those of us who used to dominate, it was only a shul, right? There. Right? Only a shul, wasn't it? But we knew that there was a kolel there because they used to mess up the tables every single day and we had to come in and straighten them up. So we knew. They were reminding us with their coffee cups and tissues that there was a kolel there during the day. Okay, so this became... maybe there was a kolel after you. So the next issue, somebody asked about an amud. So I wasn't going to go too in depth into this, but we do have a difference between the bima. We'd be talking about a bima where we lay, which is in the middle, where the chazan stands is at the amud. The amud is at the front. Sometimes, historically, maybe it was attached to the Aron Kodesh. Now it's typically separate, but it's right by the Aron Kodesh, right in front or the right side. You see it both ways. Come to think of it, I know Shul and Aslan is the left side. Okay, so it works all ways. So what's the concept there? So the Gemara talks about Yored Lifnei HaTeva. Go, Laredit, go down in front of the Teva, in front of the Aron Kodesh. What's the concept of Yored? So, in fact, the Amur, where the Chazin used to daven, was typically lower. Now, there are two ways to do that. You can either have it lower in that place, or the Shul can slope downward. But that was the concept, Yored Lifnei HaTeva, to be go down, stand in front of the Teva, and we say in Tehillim, Mima'a Ma'akim, Krasi Hashem, from the depths, I will call. So that's the concept of we're davening as Avadim to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It should be from a lower place, not from the bima that is typically, now in Ashkenazim, we typically have the bima just sitting there in the middle. It's not higher, but the bima of the, and there is a concept of having steps up to the bima, and we said based on our Sinai, and our Rizal Shul, and the Beis Yosef Shul, and Tzfas. So, and they is everything at the middle? Okay, well, we're going to just talk Ashkenazi then. So the Magen Avraham. So the Magen Avraham says the concept here: the Achshav Nagu Shalmakum Shashliach Tibur Omed. Amok mishar beiskenes. Would there no egg? Though says the Magen that it's deeper based on Mamakim Krasich Hashem, and that's why it says Yored Lifnei HaTeva. Many Pesukim say this is based on the Gemara that even in the old days, based on the time of Chazal, it was much lower on. So the question is sometimes posed, and the Titzel Eliezer had this question: come Shabbos, we want to move the Chazan from the Amud at the front to the Bima in the middle, so people can hear better. Is it permitted to move the Chazan, ask him to move, especially on Shabbos, more people come, fewer minyanim, so more people are coming to the minyan. So the Tzitz Eliezer says you can't move it. It's got to stay at the Amud, at the front. Yored Lifnei HaTeva, Mimakim Akim Krasich Hashem, he brings another proofs from the Tshuva Chasav Sofer, says the same thing. Maria Satz says the same thing. Mechta Sofer says the same thing. Tzitz Eliezer says as follows: Eimidu et HaShaleach Tibur Makim Namuch Mishum Mamakim. That is the reason, we have a real bona fide reason why the Shaliach Tzibur should at the beginning, and it is not for us to be changing that. At the end of the day, that's how he paskins. Soft hakol nishma yotzi miben sifrei haposkim. We see in all the poskim, shasu leshanas makom amidas Shaliach Tzibur. Don't change it, even if you have a good reason that you want people to hear better. The Shaliach Tzibur is at the amud, not at the bima. So we have one last question of the night. So what is different? Come Lel Shabbos, Kabbalah Shabbos, where does the Chazan stand? So Professor Wolf is saying it's not part of the Tefillah. So what is different? So reason number one, that's right. We are Mem Dalet, page number Mem Dalet, top right. B'tam Adavar, Yesh Pirshu, Dekevan Shekabbalah Shabbos, Eina Me'ikar Seder HaTefillah, a bullseye. Reason number one, that it's not really part, it's part of the tefillah, but it's not part of the tefillah. It's not me'ikar seder tefillah. Ela hosafa mirdor samachul ha'me'ucharim. It was added on later on. It's not even talking about, it does talk about in the Gemara Shabbos that about going out into the field, boy chala, but it wasn't the avos daven k'neged k'midim like shachus min chamarev. It's not on that status. Lachena yadesha al-sliach tzibur mishanem makom amidaso. He changes where he is. It's to show that it's not me'ikar, the intrinsic part of the davening. So that's reason number one. Yeshakaya. Tasame Tami Aminhagim says another, the Kayim makes us Minakat Kadmonim that says Bachutz the Kabbalah Shabbos. Minakat Kadmonim, that was to go out. Arizal would go out into the field to welcome in the Shabbos Malka. So Vahabima is closer to the door. So in order to show, it's kind of like going outside, but not really. So we're not going to go closer to the door, so we'll stand at the bima. Number two, Likutei Ma'arich says, Midiva Arizal says that is the Tov, the Omer al Har Gavo. It's good to say the Kabbalah Shabbos on a Har Gavo. So we said we're at the bima, which is quasi on a Har Gavo, at least in Sephardi Shuls. And number four, Kabbalah is similar to one we said before. Kabbalah Shabbos, Eina Tfila Rak Omimasa Lekavod Shabbos. It is Kavod Shabbos, is Kabbalah Shabbos, and accordingly we are allowed to be on a higher place. The concept of Mima Makim doesn't apply. We want to be on a higher place to show more Kavod for Shabbos. So that's the reason why that it is indeed different. So let me just recap real quickly. Our question was, Bima in the middle of Shul, is it required? Is it not required? Can you daven? Can you not daven? We saw that there are a number of reasons brought down, even without getting into the Chukas HaGoyim, because of the concern of the Reform movement. Number of reasons brought down. Number one and most primary, brought by the Rambam and the Tur and the Ramah, that it's Kadesh Yishmu Kulam, so we can hear the Kriya Satorah. So that was number one. Number two was the Chsam Sofer saying it's like the Mizbeach in the middle, the Bimas are Mizbeach, so we want to have it in the middle. Number three, the Chofetz Chaim saying that it's just like the Betocha Machanos, just like the Aron Kodesh was Betocha Machanos, so too Kalisho is all around, so too the Kehillah is all around. And then we got into the questions that we have all these reasons, but how important is it? Do we paskin this way? And we see that a number of poskim indeed absolutely paskin. It should be in the middle. They say, although the Kesef Mishnah says we have some flexibility even for a small shul, some poskim say we can't rely on that. We don't paskin like that. Indeed, if it's all the way at the front, we have a serious problem. Maybe Rav Moshe is a little bit more flexible, but certainly if you have a choice between shuls, better to daven in the shul that has it in the middle. But there are poskim that are absolutely makbid on this, certainly more in the 1800s and 1900s when we had all the concerns of the Reform and the Chukas HaGoyim. Now that's not our motive, so we saw Rav Moshe was a little bit more lenient, but this is still an important din that the Bima should be in the middle, and we should all make a better effort, including myself, to be able to pay close attention to Kriya Satorah. No, it would be based on the Tam. You wouldn't have the Reform concern, but we would still have Kadesh Yishmu Kulam, we would still have the Mizbeach that should be in the middle, we would still have... I mean, because you have different structures. Some shuls are much wider, like Kilas Yaakov, Rabbi Gershon Bess, is a shul in Los Angeles, very wide shul. So you have to do your best. It's in the middle of north, south, east, and west, even though it's going to be... You know, it's going to be...
If it's all against one side in the men's section,
not on the right side of the left side.
It's some from front to back. It's
all the way
in the middle, but it's all to one side.
All the way to the right or to the left. You know, it's not. It's certainly not ideal. It's certainly not ideal. We're not fulfilling the six reasons. We're not fulfilling any of them. Although we wouldn't say it's a chukas hanayim. Have a good Shabbos.
Now, Dr. Kestenbaum would remember.